All Caro wanted was to be at home, preferably stretched out on the sofa in front of a decent film. Instead, she was on a crowded train, travelling in the right direction, with another hour to go. Everywhere there was noise, when all she longed for was peace and quiet. She shifted in her seat, straightened her legs, feeling a sharp reminder of where her grandson, Danny, had rammed his tricycle against her shins. Through the window, everything was pitch black. All she could see was her own reflection, her hair unruly. She closed her eyes against the unwanted reminder of time passing and pressed her forehead against the cold glass. Looking after just one small child for a day had exhausted her. Hard to imagine now how she had once looked after two of her own without batting an eyelid. The wheels clattered over the tracks and the carriage swayed from side to side. Lickety-split, lickety-split. She opened her eyes as the motion of the train bounced her head off the glass and back again. Shifting again in her seat to get more comfortable, she picked up the paperback that lay face down, broken-backed on the fold-down table in front of her. After a minute or two, she put it down again, unable to concentrate, and took a sip of her gin and tonic. Better. Perhaps that man was on the train again. She'd looked up and down the aisle when she got on, but just because she always got in the third carriage didn't mean that he would too. If he was on the train at all, she'd probably never see him again. He had looked like a man with a story. She took another sip. And what story would that be? God only knew. She hadn't recognized the language of the newspaper he had with him. He hadn't looked happy as he read it. Did it take one unhappy person to recognize another, she wondered. But she wasn't unhappy, she reminded herself. Not exactly. The previous week, he had sat beside her, leaning back in his seat, eyes shut, earphones in, grey hoodie overlapping the collar of his dark waterproof coat. The music he was listening to leaked from his earphones in tinny bursts. She was on the point of asking him to turn it down when she heard the rattle of the refreshments trolley. This was her favourite part of the journey home, the moment when she began to be her own woman again, just herself, no one's ex-wife, mother or grandmother. A gin and tonic, please. The words were almost out before the attendant had put the brake on the trolley. As the ice was being shaken into the plastic beaker, Caro had reached down for her bag. Her wallet felt oddly bulky. She unzipped the purse to find no cash, just a few of her grandson's Lego bricks. The man beside her was pulling out his earphones and asking for a cup of tea. She remembered looking at the beaker of ice, the inviting little green plastic bottle of gin, and the tin of tonic before picking them up to give back. I'm sorry, but I don't seem to have any money. My grandson... That's all right, love. While the attendant finished making her neighbour's tea, Caro rummaged in the bottom of her bag, hoping to find some loose change. Let me, said the man next to her.
How much?
He asked the attendant.
Yes, for both.
Caro couldn't place his accent. East European, maybe? That's very kind of you, she jumped in, but I can't let you do that.
Why not?
He waved her away before counting out the cash.
Then.
He passed the gin and tonic back to her. Your lucky night, love. The attendant had winked and smiled before turning to his next customer. Thank you. She began to mix her drink. Best bit of the day. But her joke was met with a polite smile. She had tried to talk to him, explaining about Danny taking her handbag and emptying her purse, telling him about her family, then asking him about his. But he was less forthcoming. All she had elicited from him was that he had been married once and no, he had no children. At her question, he had shut his eyes, taken a breath. She hadn't imagined it. He hadn't been unpleasant, but he apparently did not intend his generosity to be taken as a sign of wanting anything from her. Her usual knack of getting people to open up to her hadn't worked at all. Instead, he held back, maintaining his reserve. Someone was walking down the aisle. grabbing at the seat tops to keep their balance, swaying with the motion of the train. Him. It was as if she'd conjured him out of the ether. He saw her and stopped.